You're listening to the Shared Security Show, exploring the trust you put in people and technology with your hosts, Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Every hack follows the same pattern. First, hackers exploit a human error, like a leaked key or a secret left in code. They gain a foothold and then pivot, moving from one compromised system to the next. Teleport breaks this cycle. Open source Teleport gives every engineer, every piece of hardware, every application an identity, replacing secrets like passwords and keys with auto-expiring identity-based certificates. Learn why the most visionary businesses in the world choose Teleport at goteleport.com. Welcome to episode 233 of the Shared Security Show, and joining me this week are the two best co-hosts that anyone could ask for, Scott Wright and Kevin Johnson.
Shh, our heads are getting bigger.
Sorry to inflate your egos, gentlemen.
I need a bigger screen.
But Kevin's already stuffy.
Yeah, so. I don't think my head could get any bigger with how stuffy it is right now.
Yes, yes. Well, hopefully you feel better, Kevin.
Well, we're honored to be working with the best podcast host ever.
Yeah, exactly. So. I mean, Tom takes over the introduction, so we can't ever kiss up to him.
I'm gonna switch it up for you guys one day, and one of you will have to do the introduction. And that will completely throw off our audience, since I've been doing 233 of these. We'll plan that out.
I think like 10 years ago, I used to do the weird introductions, and Tom would go, "What the heck?"
That's right. Well, we'll flip it around one of these days.
We will.
But we have an exciting episode for everyone today with some great topics. And the first one is about how the FCC says that TikTok is an unacceptable security risk and should be removed from the app stores. So this, of course, comes no surprise. I know the U.S. government has been after TikTok for a long time about what they say is excessive data collection, their close relation to the Communist Party of China, because ByteDance, the company that owns TikTok, is a Chinese company. And of course, it's widely believed that TikTok is just nothing more than a surveillance tool to collect data.
Yeah. Interesting topic. Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I find it funny that during the Trump administration, the administration came out against TikTok, and a whole bunch of people were like, "Oh no, that's because people on TikTok are making fun of Trump." And I want to be clear, I'm not saying it wasn't because of that.
Right.
But now we have the opposite party in the presidency, and it's the same issue. Here's my issue with this one. I don't see anywhere that TikTok is doing stuff they don't admit to doing.
They're not hiding anything. You're right.
Yeah. We've had many conversations about people don't read the end user license agreement.
Yeah.
The data collection. Everything TikTok is doing, TikTok acknowledges they're doing. I believe we had an episode where we talked about that TikTok said your data is stored on US servers. It doesn't go to China. It doesn't, right?
Yeah.
All that this article is saying, and the recent ones, is that people in China that work for the company can access data that's on the US servers. And I believe if we think back, we all said having it on US servers doesn't protect it from China. All that does is means it doesn't reside there, right?
Yeah. Doesn't mean you can't access it.
I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying it's not bad.
Yeah.
But I really feel like this is an example where I would prefer the FCC to push forward guidelines on how to protect your privacy and stuff like that instead of going after a single app, right? This is with so many things the government does.
Yeah.
Hey, oh man, gas prices are really high right now. Let's pass a gas price gouging law.
Yeah.
That doesn't actually affect any of the current gas prices.
And next month, you know, it could be a Russian app that does something we don't like. Yeah. And then that month after that, North Korea. And
so. If the FCC pushed forward a set of guidelines that they said, hey, Apple, Google, here are the guidelines we want as the government for you to follow, that would make way more sense. But this whack-a-mole game of here's a bad app, here's a bad app, here's a bad app. Screw you, hippie. Oh, and by the way, I'm still going to continue using TikTok because I get a kick out of it.
Side note, I kind of forgot. What happened? Wasn't Oracle supposed to buy TikTok at one time?
That was one of the things that came out during the Trump administration.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember, but
Oracle said it. I thought was something Oracle. Like Trump said, hey.
He wanted them to U.S. company to buy them. But what Oracle ended up doing was they just moved all of their data to Oracle servers that are located in the U.S.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Which is where their data is now, resides in the U.S. But of course, in the article we'll link in the show notes, they talk about how there were actual conversations, either recorded or well-known conversations of employees of TikTok saying that, you know, somebody in China has the master admin access to all the data and can access it at any time and all these things. So, yeah. I mean, we should not be surprised that a Chinese-owned company can access U.S. data.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting just in general because, you know, I was, you know, at a family event on the weekend and somebody said, so what do you think of TikTok? Should we be scared of this thing? You know, so it is a common question.
Well, I think we should be more scared of it just because of the technology it employs. And like we've mentioned on the show before about we had an episode called Is TikTok Listening to You? If you remember that, and how we talked about lots of stories of people that just have their phone sitting there. You know, the screen is off. They don't even have the app open. And ironically, things that they were talking about, TikTok videos show up when they open the app again. So, there's definitely some things going on there.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, let's jump into our favorite segment, Aware Much.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Aware Much is brought to you by ClickArmor, the first fully gamified, immersive security awareness training and engagement platform. So what do you guys think of normally when we say insider threat? You know, with a generic company, what's an insider likely to do? You know, they could be disgruntled, I guess, you know, and try and screw stuff up. Or what else could they do?
Yeah, definitely the disgruntled employee. There's also employees that will steal information, right, for their own benefit. Yeah. This happens a lot with, I think we've mentioned, like the mobile cell phone providers, right? The telcos. Yeah. Employees are, you know, sometimes coerced into giving information of, you know, to conduct SIM swapping and other types of attacks because they have access to sensitive information.
Yeah. And sometimes they're just like they're turned by foreign adversaries or something, you know, extorted or whatever. Right. But so we got this interesting story of HackerOne, which is a bug bounty service that, you know, maybe not a lot of listeners may really know much about. So I wanted to sort of just first cover, you know, what is this bug bounty service and how does it actually work?
It's actually a pretty interesting service. It's been around for a while. Companies who want to run a bug bounty program but don't want to run it themselves hire HackerOne. They work with HackerOne at various levels to generate a program. And then HackerOne presents that program to its members, its bug bountyers, whatever. And they then, based on the level the client pays for, if a person doing bug bounty, you know, the bug bounty hunters, they find a bug, they report it. HackerOne validates it, rules out, it basically weeds out the noise.
Right. And but the monetary part of it is that, you know, the independent hackers who want to make money look for vulnerabilities in that customer's service and then report it to the bug bounty service like HackerOne. And if they find something valuable that, you know, is vetted and recognized to be a real security vulnerability in that customer's software, then the customer will pay money. Bug bounty program makes a bit of money and they pay something to the actual independent hacker. So with this kind of a business model, let's think about what the insider could do. And so we saw a story where an employee of HackerOne was reportedly setting up fake bug bounty researchers trying to earn money from the vulnerabilities that have already been reported by other independent hackers, which is kind of interesting. It's more of a direct exploitation of the whole business model.
Yeah. And to be clear, when we say reported, the vulns have been reported to HackerOne, not the end customer.
Right.
My understanding is this employee was looking at bugs that had not gone through the entire vetting process yet. And then instead of approving them and moving them forward, went outside the platform to try to extort money from the end customer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was thinking at first they were just trying to share in the reward, right? Saying if more than one hacker reports it, you know, I imagine they split the bounty or whatever, right?
Typically they don't. Typically the first person to report
first guy gets it. Okay. So that's why he would go around the HackerOne platform directly to the customer. And
so, and this is for years, people who have taken part in this platform have claimed that they reported something, they were told it wasn't real, and then later on they find out that somebody has reported it and it was determined real. I'm not saying that's true.
Yeah.
This is the first time that HackerOne has actually come out and said, somebody accessed this data, somebody used it to try to extort money, and they've done their reaction to it, right? Like,
It's interesting and a really positive sort of, you know, a reflection on the company that they're that transparent about, you know, uncovering that stuff.
Oh, yeah. The disclosure was really detailed, you know, as I would expect from a security company. You know, they talked exactly what happened, what they did, and of course, what they're going to do to help prevent this in the future.
Yeah.
But it's interesting just based on a, you know, you have a business that's really based on trust, right?
Yeah.
With very sensitive information, you know, like to your point, Kevin, probably has happened before and maybe they're just not, you know, talking about it.
Well, and I when I say probably has happened, I think it's happened before.
Oh, I do too.
I think it's absolutely likely, almost guaranteed that this has happened before. I think it's really hard for HackerOne or any of the bug bounty programs to determine whether the problem came from them, because one of the issues you have is, okay, I have a website, I put this application online, I add it to my bug bounty program, but it's still public. There are still people. Good example here, I think Secure Ideas does not have a bug bounty program. We've never had a bug bounty program. We don't have any plans for a bug bounty program yet. At least once a month, sometimes it's two or three times a week, we get reports from people that they found a vulnerability in our system, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, I was testing you. Huh, that's funny. I didn't give you permission to do that. Now, I'm happy to say that so far in 12 years of getting these reports, not a single one of them has been real.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But if I've got a bug bounty program with HackerOne and I get a bug report from somebody third party, why would I assume that it was an employee of HackerOne that stole the details? And
right.
You know what I mean? Like, in this case, it was tracked down.
Yeah. So it's an interesting thing from an awareness point of view. What does a business like HackerOne need to do to try to reduce the risks of insiders doing this stuff? So it goes way beyond phishing and social engineering, you know, watching for external threats. You know, how do you educate your team on watching for internal threats, or even better, telling people, you know what, you know, don't even be tempted by this kind of stuff. You know, if you're thinking about doing that stuff, here's why it's not good for you, not good for us, et cetera. Right. And so that's just, you know, a much broader sort of aspect of awareness that we just wanted to highlight and say, this is important stuff for employees to understand. And so this is brought to you by ClickArmor, the first gamified security awareness training and engagement platform. And just wanted to mention this week that I've compiled a series of about, I don't know, 15 articles that I've written around security awareness. Some are tips for end users. Some are for improving your awareness training program. I put it in a PDF and it's available from our website, clickarmor.ca. So if you come and visit, you'll get a chance to download that.
Well, thank you, Scott. And now let's jump into our last story of the week, which is the leak of California gun owners' private data has been, it's far wider than originally reported. So this happened a few weeks ago where apparently a spreadsheet was published online. I believe that was the most likely like a Google sheet or some cloud spreadsheet, fully accessible on a website through the state of California. I believe it is their firearms dashboard portal.
My understanding is it's for if you apply for a carry permit.
Yeah.
Right. And where you said that it got bigger than it was, yeah. Right. When it first was found out, the assumption, the belief, the whatever was that it was just people who had a carry permit. And that was concerning. I'll say bluntly, I have a carry permit here in Florida. The fact that I have a carry permit, I treat as public because sure. I don't trust the government to protect it. But the reality is the amount of information I put on that application.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot.
Was significant. I can only imagine that the amount of information that California requests
is even more.
Right?
It is.
But what they found out was not only was it all the people who had been during a certain period of time who had been granted the permit, but it was also the people who had been denied. And
yeah,
I think it's bad that they got information. Really bad. I think it's bad. But the reasons you get denied are, varied. And most of them, I would argue, is probably not something the person wants public.
Yeah.
Right? There are mental health issues. There's accusations of domestic violence. There's like all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. This was a wider spread breach.
Yeah. Yeah. And to me, the bigger concern is a lot of women and other people that are in situations with domestic abuse, and they may be getting a firearm to protect themselves or their family, having this information exposed to now people that are coming after said people is very concerning.
Especially when you think about it, very often when somebody gets out of a domestic violence situation, they don't want the person who hurt them knowing where they are.
Yeah, because they've changed their address usually.
Hiding,
right?
But yeah. Some of them do. But like, they have, they go out places and they don't want these people. And now the data of where they are is public.
Yeah,
That's my concern. And I said this in on Reddit in the subreddit when I posted this article. I said we can argue about gun control and all that kind of stuff. My bigger concern here is the people who have requested a carry permit because of an imminint threat to their life now being exposed.
Yeah. You know, what's a more fundamental concern I have, not just about the fact that this is a gun registry or anything, but as with our last story, it's almost like employees don't understand the impacts of, breaches and the importance of employing good policies, good procedures, good technologies, to the people. And it's these breach stories that actually sort of help us understand, if you're not careful, setting your privileges or permissions or, any of this stuff, then this kind of stuff happens, right? And it goes way beyond the comprehension of a lot of employees to understand how much of an impact a security breach like this can have on people in really broad areas.
Yeah.
And well, we don't have the details of it exactly, but I can only assume that this was probably a link to a Google spreadsheet that was exposed on the website, probably not maliciously, right? But by accident. Oh, yeah. And
when they tried to share it with somebody, they clicked the wrong option.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Yeah. It could have been anything. It could have been a website guy who decided, to cut corners or he had other stuff to do rather than doing a security checklist. It was just, could have been anything, but
in this case it was a Google Doc.
Oh, it was. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And, at least that's what the article implies, is that it was a Google sheet. And, I know that when I do something in Google Docs and I try to share it with somebody else, it is very easy
to
pick the wrong option and
share
why you meant to.
Yeah.
Because it's meant to be easily accessible and shareable.
Right. Yeah.
But if that information is sensitive, you got to think twice.
Yeah. It's also easy to pick the wrong option, right?
So. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it looks like that's all we have time for today. But thank you, Scott and Kevin, as always.
Thank you, Tom,
for joining the show.
And thank our listeners.
Yes. Thank you.
We wouldn't be here without them. Well, we might be, but.
That's true.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Or we won't be speaking to an echo chamber, right? But we do appreciate, of course, all of our listeners watching us on YouTube, downloading the podcast over the years, spreading the word about the podcast to your friends and colleagues. Much appreciated. So until next time. We will speak with all of you again next week. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app, or leave us a rating and review. To catch all the latest from the show, visit our website, sharedsecurity.net, for all show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter at sharedsec. And join our Reddit community on the Shared Security Show subreddit. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week for another episode of the Shared Security Show.